Hallelujah. Well, open up your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 28. And also, we're going to actually start, put a marker there. We're going to start in 1 Corinthians 14. I'm going to teach on praying in other tongues tonight. Yes, it seems like a good place to teach on other tongues. But I'm not. I'm really teaching on how important it is to make sure that you keep up with the revelation knowledge that's being unveiled here. Because we're on a journey. We're on a mission. We're trying to get to something that God has been trying to get to us since before the foundation of the world, really. This revival and outpouring of the Spirit. The way we normally say it here, the assignment of the prayer center is to go far enough into God to bring a supernatural revival to a religious city, you know. We want to see the same works here that Jesus did, and that's what he said we're supposed to be seeing. So, we all know that the Holy Spirit gave us a teacher, and that teacher is not really Dave. The teacher is the Holy Spirit, but I thank God for Dave, who line upon line, precept upon precept, taught us how you activate the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. But something Dave said today during his service, which I thought was phenomenal, by the way, just one little thing that he said sparked tonight's message, and I'll come back to that in a little bit. Now, Paul actually quotes from this passage in Isaiah in 1 Corinthians 14. And 1 Corinthians 14 is probably where we get the most information about praying in other tongues that we have in the New Testament. This is the chapter. I've got to remember, I was raised Southern Baptist, and they made no bones about it where I grew up. Tongues is of the devil. because they knew it was of the devil, because all of those tongues and prophecies and all of that passed away with the last apostle. So anybody who's praying in tongues today, they're doing it by the power of the devil. You know, so I had a hard time. You think I had a few strongholds when it come to getting baptized in the Holy Ghost? And so thank God for this church, you know, and for Michael Muccio. Really, we got baptized in the Holy Ghost a long time before we came here. But then it wasn't until we got here that Pastor Dave then, who knew? Did you know before you started hearing Pastor Dave? I didn't know there was any advantage to spending long hours praying in other tongues. I didn't know that. So just reading just a little bit here to get the flow of our mind going down this path. So 1 Corinthians 14, starting in verse 1, follow after charity or love, and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him. Howbeit in the Spirit, he speak in mysteries. So you know how Dave would stop right there, and he says, Now, let's get a few things that we know here. Number one, when you're speaking in an unknown tongue, you're not really speaking to men. Now there's four diversities of tongues. See, and you know, Dave has led us through those. I hope that you could instruct others by this time in those four diversities. You do know that one of those diversities, you do speak to other men. All you got to do is look at Acts chapter 2 and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and they started speaking with other tongues. And it says all of these men heard them. They heard them in their own language, speaking their own language, even though they knew that they'd never learned it. Well, that's one of the diversities of tongues. And that diversity of tongues is to be heard by men and understood by men. So the fact that he says here, now, whatever kind of tongue he's talking about here, he says, you're not speaking to other men with this one. No man understands you. Well, it can't be the same one as Acts 2, because men understood that one. There's four different diversities of tongues. I'm not going to get into that tonight. So we know mysteries are being communicated. All right, you're doing this in the Spirit. So Dave would do us like this. Y'all remember this. He goes, now mysteries are being communicated between you and God, right? You're not speaking to men. You're speaking to God. Mysteries are being communicated between you and God. Now, what do you think? Do you think that you're the one sneaking up to God's ear and you're explaining mysteries to him? What do you think? No. During that time, by his Spirit, he is communicating mysteries unto you. And these would be mysteries of everything that you want to know, everything concerning the true revelation of the Word of God, everything concerning your calling in his plan for your life, And then even the things that pertain to your life. You know, Pastor Bronk did a real good service. I got to hear this last week. He was writing, Pastor Bronk is a pastor of the Family Prayer Center in Immokalee, Florida. And so he was teaching, and he says he was riding with a fella that has one of those GPS things, you know, that talks to you and tells you how to get from one place to another. And so he's driving along. His real pleasant voice, you know, little pleasant female voice on there, said, turn right. At 100 feet, turn left. But him and his friend was talking, and they did okay for a while. But at one point, the voice said, now turn right at the next exit. And the guy forgot. He missed it. About the, Bronk says, now if it had been me on that recording, I'd have said something like, hey, you missed the turn, you dummy. But he says what it did, it just went in a real pleasant voice and went recalibrating. In other words, it takes into account where you are now, your error, and it's recalibrating now how to get back the shortest route. And if you miss that one, it recalibrating. He says, you know, that's what the Holy Ghost is doing. All the time that if you continue to pray in other tongues, he is making intercession for you according to the perfect will of God. You may have missed the last five turns in a row. But he doesn't go to you, you dummy. recalibrating. And he's still going to be dealing with you to get you right back on the center of God's will. God, I even have to tell Bronk, he preached a good one. That was a good one. I like that, see. But that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Well, I'm not going to reteach all of that tonight. You guys know all of that. But something that Dave said today, let's come on over to where yes, sir. Get him. Okay. Yes. I want to come over here in chapter 14 where Paul quotes from the Old Testament. So you can tell he's teaching about tongues all through there. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. He's teaching on tongues. And in that context, pick it up in verse 18. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in the church I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. So he's talking about maturity. He's talking about growing up in your understanding, correct? And then notice he quotes from this passage that we're about to look at in Isaiah. This is from Isaiah 28. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. And yet for all that, they will not hear me, saith the Lord. Let's go back to Isaiah 28 for just a minute. And let's look where he drew that from. Let's look at verse 9. And you'll notice a phrase in here. The Holy Spirit's asking, how do you wean people off of the breast? He's talking about getting people off of milk. We've been teaching a lot about leaving the milk and going on to some strong meat. Well, how do you do that? Isaiah 28:9. So whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Line upon line, here a little and there a little. Then here's that verse. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. Now, this picture, revelation knowledge, is line upon line. Precept upon precept. As I have been praying over these years, the way I first heard Dave say it like this. He says, what we tend to do, we tend to ask the Lord roof questions. You know, roof questions. I want to know this. I want to know this. And these are, they're good questions, but they're roof questions. And he says, the problem is, in your understanding, you have not allowed the Holy Spirit to build any kind of structure or any kind of walls that would support the answer that he's going to give you to your rough question. He said today, now this is the statement that he made that triggered tonight's lesson. In the course of teaching, he said it, this is not a quote, I didn't write it down, but he says, can you tell Pastor Dave is in transition, more into the love of God? It's like he's walked at a certain level, and he's been in a room for a long time, and he can't even hardly talk about this next room. It's like he's stepping across a threshold. He's not quite there, but he's in there enough to where you can sure see the effects of it. He calls it more of the love of God. And he made this statement. He said, if God had shown me any more of this love, his love, at an earlier time in my life, no doubt I would have become an inclusionist. Because it's hard to taste God's love. It's hard to really see it, taste it, feel it, how he really feels about lost people, how he really feels about safe people, how he feels, how he loves them. He said it's hard to taste that and think that it's even possible that anyone could ever wind up in hell. He said it's easy for me to understand how that you can become an inclusionist if you ever get a taste of the love of God. But when he said that, a picture that I saw years ago in my own training by the Holy Spirit, which I'm going to show you in a minute, it appeared in front of me, and I went, oh, man, we better not be missing. Better not be. If you have to miss service, I'm going to be gone from here 3 weeks. Don't think I'm going to miss a message. I'll tell you why in a minute. So here you talk about a roof question or a roof answer, the love of God. Well, God is love. You start understanding that, you start understanding God. They don't get much higher. And what Dave was saying, if he hadn't allowed the Holy Spirit all these years, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, and there a little, if he had not allowed God to lay these foundation stones of understanding, revelation, knowledge, he wouldn't be at the place today where he could receive that love of God and not have the building collapse one way or the other in like what we call getting, you know, a few degrees off. You get a few degrees off, and then 10 years down the road, you're miles off, you know. Now, the picture that I saw years ago, and when the Holy Spirit was teaching me along these same lines, we are building a wall, but the way the Holy Spirit showed it to me, it's not a brick wall. You got to remember, my history is in construction. I have a lot of experience with all kinds of construction. Well, bricks are all uniform, you know, the same size, you know, and I have built brick walls. No, the kind of wall we're building, the kind God builds, notice he calls it lively stones. It's stones, and they're all different sizes, and I have built a lot of stone walls in my life. Stone walls takes a little more artistry and a little more vision. You got to be able to see several layers ahead. You're looking at your pile of stones that they've given you to build this wall with. And you've got to be looking at the stones and seeing the structure ahead of time so that, here in just a little bit, you're going to need to lay that great big stone. This stone, this is the one, this is like a roof question stone, okay? Trouble of it is, now that big stone there, up to this point, your wall is so high, and there's gaps. So you're looking at your stones. Okay, well, in order to support that stone when we get there, I'm going to need this little one right here. All right, then, let's see, we've got this space. We need a larger stone to fill this gap. And that's the way that you do a stone wall. And some of those stones sometimes, I mean, it could be a big wall. Some of those stones may not be any bigger than your fist. Yet that stone, that little stone that was that big, if it's not there, if you've got a gap in your understanding, you're not ready. You're not ready for him to lay it on you prematurely is going to cause the collapse of your wall. And that's why he gives us this structure. It is line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. So when Dave said that today, I was going, oh my God. Oh my God, you know. He says, if the Holy Spirit had given me this any sooner, I can tell, because he says, privately, he's told me, he said, I barely escaped it anyway. When you start really tasting of the love of God and how he really feels, it's hard to believe that anybody could go to hell. But they do. So I saw that picture again in my spirit, and I went, well, how important is it? And I don't care who the vessel is it comes through. I don't care if it's, you know, people call me, who's teaching at this service? And I always answer that if I can get away with it, I go, the Holy Ghost. You know, yeah, but who's he teaching through? You know, but I'm telling you right now, I can, where we're going, we cannot afford to have any gaps in our walls. And I counsel you, if you have to be gone or, you know, if you can't be here, thank God the messages are all available for free. They're available online. And if you're not able to get online, you can get them on CD. If you're not able to do that, there is a friend here somewhere that will burn a CD for you with their computer. How many would volunteer to do that if somebody doesn't know how to? See, look, just look at here. Just ask around. Or, like I always say, there is a teenager on your block who for $10 would just make you all of them that you want. You know, and you can buy those blank CDs and catch them on sale. I've got them as low as 12 cents a piece. You know, you can't afford this. All right? Now, we're talking, at that stage, we're talking about revelation knowledge that is coming through every teacher in the body or every minister in the body. Now, at the same time, how we have labored here all carefully. Who is your teacher? The Holy Spirit is your teacher too. He is more than your teacher. At this stage of the game, I'm going to emphasize tutor. We've done this from Hebrews chapter 12. How the Father, he wants to tutor you. He wants to take you one-on-one. He wants to do all of that recalibrating on every wrong turn that you've taken until now. See, by the time you're my age, trust me, you've taken a few wrong turns. I remember when we first started hearing this message, we were so far away from the will of God. We had no idea. We'd been so beat up by religion and Christians and the world. And I mean, we didn't know come here from Sikkim. We didn't know any. We're one of those that Dave talks about. This was like our last chance, you know. This was it. If we're going to ever have another chance with God, it's why God brought us off here, because if he hadn't sent us here, I don't know that we'd have ever been into ministry. We got too beat up out there, and we didn't know how to connect with the Holy Ghost. So Dave, thank God, line upon line, precept upon precept, with great humor. We'd been through 5 years of hell, everything in the world. I'd been through that cancer thing. She'd been through the 8-pound blood mass thing. All three of our daughters went in rebellion during that 5-year period. The church we'd poured our life into just dissolved almost overnight. I mean, it was terrible, you know. We were beat up in every way you can imagine, physically, emotionally, spiritually. We're like, you know, I don't know what we really looked like on the outside walking through, but I felt like someone with one foot in the grave and another on a banana peel. I just felt nearly dead. Set us down over here, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Dave began to teach us. And he did it with such great humor. We needed that. We needed to laugh. So, but we didn't understand hardly anything. You know, in those days, one lady who came here, after she'd come just a little while, I asked her, I said, well, what's it like coming here? She said, did you ever try and get a drink from a fire hydrant? Take that cap off the side. It's so much, you know, so quick. Well, that was kind of us too. Now, Dave, I think God has helped Dave with these parables, help us over the years. But we didn't understand probably 5% of what he said. And we'd be driving home. Now, Sue laughed. We had a good time. We're driving home. And I'd look over at her and I'd say, are you better? She'd go, yeah. I said, well, me too, but I don't know why. But we'd kept coming. And we kept coming. And then the most important thing, then we began doing. It took about 6 months. I so distrusted preachers. I had been hurt by them. And I mean, the last one seemed like a nice guy too. And he didn't really mean to hurt me, but he did, you know. So it took me about 6 months listening to what Dave said and checking out every single thing that he said in this book. If I didn't find it in this book, I don't care how nice you are, I'm not believing you, see. Everything was here. All of it was in Scripture. So we just made that decision. The best decision. Next to receiving Jesus and Mary and Sue, that the third best decision I ever made in my life was to turn off the radio in the cab of that truck, turn off the CB, and start just giving that time to praying in other tongues with stammering lips and another tongue. Just like Paul quotes here in 1 Corinthians 14, this is the rest. This is the refreshing. You can do that. I know we're all doing it to some extent. I encourage you to add some more time to it. I'm telling you, we are coming into a season of understanding and blossoming and revelation knowledge. If there has been any gaps, if there's any gaps in your wall, do you think the Holy Spirit doesn't know that? I like to say this, He is smarter than I am dumb. He's a better teacher than I am a poor student. And if I give Him enough time, recalibrating. If I give Him enough time, He'll get me to right back where I need to be, and He'll do the same with you, making perfect intercession for you according to the will of God. Okay. If Dave says that about himself, I'm not looking at anybody for any reason. I have to look somewhere, okay? People go, why? After the service, was God talking to you about me? No, I have to look somewhere. See what I got from that too? If Dave barely escaped error by walking into, you know, just tasting so far what he's tasted of the love of God, you think we're going to need to taste that same love? I don't want there to be any gaps in my walls. And I don't know how to fill them. I don't even know what... Romans 8:26, this is part of the problem. We know not what to pray for as we ought. I don't know where my gaps are. Do you know where you're... You know, I think, well, I'm okay. God is going... I'm looking at my wall, you know. Yeah, I'm able to receive this next thing. Sure, God, lay it on me. And God's looking at the wall. Don't put it on him. Don't put it on him. Shaky, shaky, shaky. We got four gaps here, two gaps there. And oh, God, there's a big gap right there. You know. But see, God knows your gaps. He knows your gaps. He knows where you are. And however he gets it to you, you know. You may be cleaning out your closet and a tape will fall out on the, an old cassette tape will fall out on the floor, hit you on the big toe, and you go, I don't think I ever heard that message. Of course, nowadays you'd have to find a cassette player. But he may just get it to you yourself, you know. See, the thing about the Holy Spirit, it is good. I mean, I thank God for everything I've learned through Pastor Dave. We all go through this. Everybody, we're all going through it. You're going through it too. What'll happen? You'll teach a revelation, and boy, it's good. And you can tell it's just fresh and alive in you. And to you, you feel like, does anyone else know this? And after the service, if you get a chance, and this doesn't happen very often, but once in a while, you get to go see Pastor Dave, and you're sharing with him. You know, and he'll pat, pat, pat. That was really nice, you know. You know, on the Born Again Trail I taught 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago. Well, what's going on there? Well, see, it's truth is truth. It was always truth. It was truth in him. He taught it. You got knowledge. But I'm telling you, there's just a world of difference between head knowledge and heart faith now. And it's hard to live on another man's faith. It's easier to teach another man's knowledge. I'll tell you that right now. You can go out and parrot the messages. Doesn't mean you can walk in it. I go through the same things. But just because you've heard it, see, if you keep doing this message and praying in the Holy Ghost and assimilating the word, boy, and see, Dave, he jumped right on that, didn't he? I'm telling you, Galatians would be a good book right now to assimilate, even if you think you know it really well. Galatians, that for us to go where we're going, there cannot be any dregs of the law in your understanding. Because the bond servant will not be heir with the son of the free woman. We've got to be free, and I mean really free. So Galatians would be a real good one. That's probably the best book in the New Testament. If you haven't read Galatians 30 times, this would be a good time to do it, see? But in your own self, even things that you have knowledge of but have not become real to you, I think that's the way to say it. You say, well, yeah, I have that knowledge. Mm-hmm. I heard him say it 20 years ago, 10 years ago. I'm telling you, there's a big difference. Because the Holy Ghost, he knows you individually. He knows every experience you've been through. You know, he taught me faith. The biggest lessons that I have on faith, my own personal life, are from an elm tree that I have personal experience with. I saw the thing from the time it was a seedling to the time it got to be such a giant tree you'd have to hug and chalk, and turn around, hug and chalk, you know. That's a big tree. You couldn't even reach around the doggone thing. And then it died, and guess who got to cut it up and haul it away? Me, you know. It took me days. I did it by myself with a chainsaw and did not have an electric splitter. I had an axe and I had two wedges and a sledgehammer and a pickup truck. And it took me 2 or 3 days to get that thing cut up and hauled. And the question in your mind is, while you're loading all that wood and cutting that thing, and it's massive, you know, where did all this substance come from? Because I remember when it was a little seedling. I kept mowing the thing down. In the early days, I mowed it down about 3 times. And it kept coming back. Dad made me build a little fence around it because we needed a tree there. So I remember, I said, that little thing, look at this mess. Where did all this substance come from? And here begins the lesson. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Trust me, there was a time when that tree was not seen. But a seed was planted. Substance came. I could teach that lesson. Huh? You know? We could. It's God's word. If you've ever heard me say it, from that lesson came the phrase, if you have God's word, you have God's substance. Yeah, you go, yeah, I've heard that. When you're fighting cancer, if you have God's word, you have God's substance. If you need finances, if you have God's word, you have God's substance. Now, you may need to learn how to receive that substance. You may need to know how to plant a seed and how to get it to grow and how to get it to manifest substance in the earth. Get my lessons on the elm tree. Amen? Hallelujah. Gaps. We're talking about gaps. I guess I'll go back to 1 Corinthians 14 for just a minute. I'm going to just do this one little part, and we're going to go ahead and get into the confessions. Most of you, not only do I not need to teach you 1 Corinthians 14, at this point, most of you are qualified to teach it to the nations. Most of you that's been around this message very long. But now this one part, I want you to just think about this part tonight. Verse 14. 1 Corinthians 14:14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. See, that's what makes it hard. Your soul thinks praying in tongues is the most boring thing that ever occurred on God's planet Earth. It doesn't understand what's being communicated. It's like a foreign language to it. Now, it's a stroke of genius from God's point of view, because normally it's the strongholds in the soul and the misunderstandings in the soul that we have that keeps us from walking in the things of God that we want to walk in. So God devised, it's a stroke of genius. How will we, if I let them pray through the soul is already messed up. They don't even know what's wrong with them. And the Holy Spirit goes, you know, I could give them a language, and if they would just let me, I understand where they are. I see the gaps in their understanding. And if they would let me, you know, I could create the language and pray the perfect prayer that would fill in those gaps, line by line, precept by precept, recalibrating. I like that, recalibrating, you know. And we could just bypass that messed up intellect. And their spirit could be in direct communication with God is a spirit. And they could be making intercession as if they knew what they were doing. In other words, if they knew what to pray as they ought, which we don't. It is your spirit doing the praying. So the way that the Holy Spirit showed it to me, it was like, okay, we come up to the Holy of Holies. Y'all remember how only the high priest could go in there in the Old Covenant. Of course, we know in the New Covenant we can go right in there, but still the type and shadow works okay. Well, your spirit can go right in there and sit right down in the Holy of Holies and be in the classroom of the Holy Ghost, you know. And like Dave says, that finely dressed gentleman at the chalkboard, that's the Holy Spirit. And while you're praying in other tongues, boy, your spirit is just making notes and writing down, Shandalabakusan, really, Shandalabra. Your spirit is being educated. I mean, your spirit loves praying in other tongues because, I mean, it is receiving directly from God, its Father, by the Holy Ghost. It's receiving pure input, not only of doctrine, but of leadership and who you are in the body of Christ and who you are as His Son. I mean, it's pure. Your spirit, if it had its choice, would probably never speak anything but tongues. And your soul, it wants to go in there and have a good time. Comes up to that curtain. It's like the type and shadow from the Old Testament. Only the priest can go in there. Only your spirit is allowed in there. Your soul is not going to understand one bit of it. So when he was getting it across to me, it's like your soul, it pulls up a chair, it has to sit down outside. It can hear the mumbling, you know, and it's going, I wish I knew what was going on in there. Sounds like they're having a good time. 5 minutes, oh God. You know, wish I'd have brought Field and Stream. Wish I'd have brought, what do you women like? Shoe magazine. But your soul is out there, and it's unfruitful at that time. It's agony. You know, and the really scary part is, you know who makes that decision in the beginning, how long you're going to pray? It's your soul. How many of you said, I'm going to pray 2 hours? After about, you know, a little while, whatever it is. I started to say 5 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, however. Finally, you go, that's enough of that. My grass is growing. I can see my grass growing. I need to go mow the lawn, or I need to go do, you know, whatever it is. See, who makes that decision? It's not your spirit, man. It's the soul. See, that's why hunger is so important, by the way. You've got to have hunger. You've got to be hungry. So the process, your soul is unfruitful at that moment. It just, oh, it's boring. That's why when Dave taught, I got it from him. It took a while for me to get the knack of or get the hang of reading my Bible while I was praying in other tongues. That is a bit. See, now you're fasting your soul from everything but the pure Word of God. You're actually inputting what the Holy Ghost has given you the revelation of anyway. And it just gives your soul something to do. It gives it something to focus on. Now, at first, I was praying too loud. I would try and read my Bible and pray in tongues. And my mind is trying to understand, though I speak with the tongues of men, but I'd be going, Shandala Bakusan, and my own tongues was interfering with that. So I had to learn. I had to learn that I could read and pray almost under my breath, you know. Just, you can barely hear me, but I'm still praying. The volume doesn't matter, though. It's the communication that matters. It's those sentences and structures and what's being spoken, the mysteries that's being communicated. The volume doesn't have anything to do with it. So then that gave my soul something to do, and boy, was that a great help. It didn't help while I was in the trucks because I couldn't read the Bible. But I'm talking about after I got out of the trucks. I'll be honest with you, it was easier praying in the trucks because the scenery was going by. It was easier. My soul had something to look at. Oh, yeah, and I'm just praying away. See, that's why I know it works, even if your soul is occupied with other things, you know. But the best that once I learned, once Dave got me and I started practicing that where I could assimilate the New Testament and pray in other tongues at the same time, it made it easier to stay in prayer. Plus, it just seemed to kick in an afterburner. Then if you want to kick in the ultimate afterburner. Oh, here it is. Our favorite subject around here. Oh, here it comes. I'm going to say it. I'll get ready. Fasting. Which I'm finding out is another thing my spirit loves. And my soul goes, what? And it helps me understand how far behind my soul is. But see, now, before I leave this part about the understanding, though, look, the purpose, your understanding, the way he phrases it here, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. That's only while that prayer is taking place. See, because what begins to happen then, once your spirit gets that revelation, suddenly, the way I understand it, it's your spirit that turns around to your soul. It's like he opens up those curtains. Your soul is sitting out there in a chair. It's been sitting there praying, bored out of its mind, or reading the Bible. But your spirit got a new revelation. And it's like, check this out. And that's where one of those visions comes, or a revelation comes, or something, the understanding begins to come. And boy, when that happens, at that moment, even your soul likes praying in other tongues. Until the next hour starts. You get addicted to it. Your soul becomes addicted. You got to hear from God. I need to go pray. Now, while the prayer is going on, it's not real crazy about it. But boy, when those revelations come, now it likes that. You know, my soul, I need my fix. I got to have my fix. And it's not good enough just to... I love hearing Mark. I love hearing Dave. I love hearing whoever's delivering the word. Alan, whoever it is. But it's not the same. Not the same as getting my own. I like it intravenous. I want an intravenous revelation from the Holy Ghost. I want to hear from Him myself. I want a mainline, you know. Hallelujah. They do say if you remember the 60s, you weren't there. But anyway, I'm sorry. That's just a saying. I never did drugs in my life. I did everything else. I did alcohol. That's a drug. Okay, but I didn't do any of the other. I was scared of it. But anyway. So, okay, yes, sir. He says, when he says that, I have to do that. The only thing to keep is that image of thee. In you, there is a structure. We have people that's here just a little while. We have people that's been here 10 years. We have people that's been here 5 years. In every one of you, there is a wall, a structure of revelation knowledge. We are coming into a season of big-time roof questions. Let's say it this way, big-time roof answers. The love of God. The real miracle-working power of the Holy Spirit. Which you've never heard of any ministers being taken out at that level, have you? Well, in order to support what's coming, I see gaps. He showed me today, exactly like Dave said, thank God that that he didn't give him this touch of his love before now. Because it would have been so easy to get off. Well, when I heard that, I'm going, God, what about me? How many gaps in the walls are there? How many only you know? So it showed me again, so I'm just passing that on to you now. I want you to remember that there's a wall in you. It's more than a wall, it's a structure. And it's about ready. It's an edification structure. It's, you know, we call it edification. You're building an edifice on the inside of you. But there may be gaps in the understanding. Maybe places where it's weak. Praying in the Holy Ghost. I love that message. Remember, recalibration. Praying in the Holy Ghost. You think He can't see every gap? He'll get you into a season of ketchup. I don't mean the red sauce you put on hamburgers. A season of catching up. Catching up, if there's any gaps, you think He doesn't know that? You let Him bring it forward in you. I think as a body, we're about ready for this edifice to be strengthened and steadied, and we've already got a firm foundation. Let's let God be able to lay that roof right on there. Y'all ready for that? Hallelujah. Just lift your hand and say, Father, by Your Spirit, find any gaps of revelation in me. Do the recalibration by Your Spirit. Bring me into the fullness of understanding so that I'm ready to receive what's coming for revival. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah.